First song this morning will be number 305. We'll probably do the first and third verses. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who cry. The Father is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
For opening prayers, over one page to 303. This song will do 1 and 2.
We saw Thee not when Thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld Thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe Thy footsteps trod in streets and plains, Thou Son of God. But we believe Thy footsteps trod in streets and plains, Thou Son of God. We saw Thee not when lifted high up in that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry. Forgive they not, know what they do, but we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe the deed was done that veiled the earth and veiled the sun.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for allowing us to wake up this morning, to allow our feet to touch the ground. We thank you for all the many blessings you've bestowed upon us, for all the things you've provided, for all the things we take for granted in this life. We ask you to be with those who are on the prayer list and those who are sick and suffering in any way, whether it be spiritual or physical. Be with those who are traveling, Lord. Help them to get to their destination safely and get back to us safely. We thank you, Lord, for your Son who made that ultimate sacrifice for us, for the remission of our sins. We ask you continue to be with us, Lord, as we go throughout this service and throughout the day. We ask you be with Brother Skippy as he brings this message to us, and help us to take this message to heart and to apply it to our lives. We thank you as always for each and everything we take for granted. It's in your Son's precious name we do pray. Amen.
Turn to scene number 300. Number 300, again, we'll sing the first two verses.
When I survey the
as we eat the bread and drink the fruit of the vine, we remember the body of Christ Jesus that was sacrificed on the cross at Calvary. We remember that he died for our sins and he was resurrected to live again. We must remember that his spiritual life, that his death gave us spiritual life, and that we might live for him each and every day of our life. At this time, we have the privilege and the honor to serve and partake of the Lord's Supper. Before us, we have two emblems: the bread that represents his body that hung on the cross, and the cup that represents his shed blood that was shed for many for the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. We are so grateful and so humble, Father, that you left for us a way to remember Christ Jesus, to remember him and to remember what he did for each and every one of us. In your word, you said that while we were still sinners, you allowed your Son to go to the cross and die for us. And for this, we appreciate it so much. We thank you, Father, and we give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
cup. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow coming to you this morning, Father, thanking you so much for your Son, Jesus, and the great sacrifice that he had on that cross, and the shed blood on that cross that he shed for so many of us. Father, we ask at this time that as we take up this cup, Father, we do so that is in a way that is pleasing and worthy of thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we do pray. Amen.
Song of invitation after the lesson this morning will be number 387. Before the lesson in our scripture reading, let's sing number 389. Let's do the first and third verses.
Once from my poor sin-sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus, I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus. From the straight and narrow way, praise the Lord, I must not stray, for I'm walking every day, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus, I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus, I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. I'll be reading from the King James translation. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care But I have rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even at Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice of acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, Brother Skippy.
Good morning. Surely God has once again been good to each and every one of us. He's blessed us to be able to see the last Sunday of this year of 2020. We know that 2020 has been a challenge. It has been trying times. But through it all, God has been with us. God has been good to us, and God has showed us that he is still in control. And so it's just good to see you here. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. We just want to just thank those who have sent cards and texts and acts of kindness, not only during our loss, but through this holiday season. We just appreciate this congregation so much. And we just ask you to also pray for us. We'll be, for Traveling Grace, we'll be traveling this week to Texas. But don't worry, the latest prayer group, the Wednesday night class, is still going, it'll still be going on. So you still call in to the conference call on this week. So we just ask you to just keep us in your prayer. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Kind Father in heaven, we again thank you for this day, and Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see this last Sunday of this year 2020. Thank you, Lord, for just being so good, so kind, so gracious to us. Thank you for your protection, your guidance all through this year. And now, Heavenly Father, we just, as we're about to go into your word, that, Lord, we just focus upon your word and the things that it has to say to us. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, the things that we have fallen short of, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to look at the last segment of this series that we've been dealing with all this month, dealing with giving, since this was the giving season. And so we're going to look at it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through verse 19. What giving does. What giving does. When you look at Philippians, the Philippian Christians had learned the secret of joyful, liberal, financial giving. The church in Philippi, they had taken up an offering to give to Paul. Because you got to remember that Paul is in prison. He's in prison. not because he has done anything wrong, but Paul is in prison because of his faith. And so Paul wrote back to the church and he expressed his joy. So as we look at these verses, we're going to see what giving does. Number one, we're going to find that giving revives our concerns. Giving revives our concerns. In verse number 10. Now, when you look at verse 10, you see a word. And that word that you see is flourished. Flourished in verse 10, it pictures something that was dead, now coming to life. And so the word sometime is translated as revived. The word pictures a tree. It pictures a plant that is barren in the winter. But when spring comes, the tree, the plant, blossoms with new shoots and with flowers. And so the Philippian Christians, they had been barren in expressing their concern for Paul. And so Paul, but now with the gift, that the money that is sent to him, they were blossoming anew with concern for Paul's welfare. And so we have to understand this morning that giving takes the focus off ourselves and it put it on to someone or something else. Giving becomes a tangible way we can express concern and love to other people. And so as we focus on the needs of others and give to help meet those needs, we experience joy. Giving revives our concern for people. But then secondly, we see that giving teaches us contentment. In verse number 11, he says, "Now that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." See, Paul did not want this church to think that his joy rested on whether he had money or not. Paul had schooled himself to be satisfied with whatever state he had. He had joy in his life, not because his wallet was full, but because he had learned contentment. Paul believed that whether you were naked or clothed, whether you were hungry or filled, whether you were rich or poor, if you had the Lord in your life, you had everything that you needed. And so our consumer society pressures us to place too much value on material things to the point that our joy is based on how much that we have. This approach to life results in a dissatisfaction. We never seem to have enough. And so the question comes this morning, how do you define contentment? Well, contentment is not trimming down your desires. Contentment means living with the sense of God's adequacy, a conviction that God is adequate for any need that you and I face. Therefore, we can give joyfully, knowing that God will supply all of our needs. And so contentment It comes from trusting in the spiritual resources of God rather than focusing on the physical circumstances of life. But then we also need to understand in verse 12 that contentment, or in verse 11, contentment is a learned state. See, contentment is not something that comes naturally. Paul said that he had to learn to be content. Contentment then is learned. And so Paul's contentment was the fruit of many years of faithful fellowship, learning from the experience that he could trust the Lord to provide for his needs. See, part of our problem is that we do not understand what contentment is, nor where it is found. We have been taught to understand that contentment comes from the people we know. In other words, if I could just hang out with the right people, then I'd be content. But I'm here to tell you, people never live up to our expectations. And then we have been taught to understand that contentment comes from the position that we hold. In other words, if I could just get the right job that allows me to make good income and drive a nice car and live in a nice house, then I would be content. But what happens if you don't get that job? What happens when your car breaks down? What happens if your house gets blown away? And so we got to understand, don't put it in the position that you have. See, contentment is reaching the state of mind that we are at peace with where we are and who we are in Jesus Christ. So contentment is a learned state. But then in verse number 12, we see that contentment is not found in possessions or circumstances. See, Paul is saying that in verse 12, I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And so Paul is saying that regardless of our circumstances, whether we have money or not, whether we have abundance or we are in a very strained circumstance, we can have contentment. Because the secret is something other than what we do and do not possess. And so Paul later tells his son in the ministry in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 10. He said, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we'll carry nothing out, having food and clothing. With these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil, but the love of money is the root of all kind of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So Paul tells Timothy that we start with nothing and we end with nothing. So contentment, church, is not about what we accumulate, but it's about living with satisfaction one day after another. And then we see that contentment comes from learning to appreciate what we have in Jesus. Paul says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. See, that phrase is actually one in the original Greek. And Paul wrote it twice. In other words, that means that it's something that Paul wanted his readers to really notice. He is basically saying is this, I can do all things, I really can. So that's what he's trying to get us to understand. True contentment comes from living life understanding that everything pales in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. Discontent often comes from feeling deprived. But when we understand what we deserve and compare it with what we have received in Jesus Christ, church, we can truly be content. And so he looked to the Lord in every circumstance. He looked to him to help him to be content. He looked to the Lord to strengthen him against the temptations to be self-sufficient and complacent when times were good. He looked to the Lord for strength when times were rough, and he faced the temptation to feel sorrow for himself. And through it all, in every circumstance, he found the Lord's strength was sufficient. That's why he said, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me the strength. So giving revives our concern, verse 10. Giving teaches us contentment, verse number 11 through verse 13. And then when you look at verse 14 through verse 16, what you find is that giving makes us partners in ministry. See, Paul said about this gift of money sent by the church at Philippi. He says in verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now notice this. The word communicate, it has reference to share. It's the same word that is often translated fellowship. The word denotes partnership. Each time we give to the Lord, we partner with other Christians to help advance the kingdom of God. And that's exciting. That's exciting thought to put joy in the heart that we are partnering with one another to help to advance the kingdom of Almighty God. And then in verse 17 through verse 18, we find that giving pays spiritual dividends. Look what he says. He says, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. In other words, that may credit to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Notice what he says. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. See, Paul made clear that he was not looking for monetary gifts for his own benefit. Giving blesses the one who gives more than the one who receives the gift. Now, when you look at this phrase again, he talks about it again, abound to your account. Again, it has a reference to credit it to your account. Implies that giving to the Lord is like investing in the kingdom matters. Kingdom work pays. It pays spiritual dividends. See, giving from the right motive and for the right reasons become in God's sight a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And when you begin to look at this language that Paul is talking about is from the Old Testament. And it shows that our giving becomes an act of worship and devotion to God. Sacrifice to God fills our heart with great joy. That's Psalms chapter 4. Psalms 4, verse 5 and verse number 7. And then finally, what giving does is that giving grows our faith in God. Look at verse 19. He says, but my God shall supply all you need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Perhaps some of the members of the church at Philippi had given to Paul's ministry, but they were worried that they might not have enough money left to meet their own needs. And so Paul gave them a great promise to stand on. My God shall supply all of your needs. Sometimes many Christians, they sit at the kitchen table. They sit at the desk each month with their bills, and they conclude that they have no or little money to give to the church because I've had to pay this. I had to pay for college tuitions, buying new tires for the car, replacing the roof on the house. They loom at as large priorities than faithful financial stewardship. But he still tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on. Your heavenly Father already knows what you need. And God will give you what you need when you need it. But what he encourages us is that, listen, don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at your problem, but you look at me. You trust me. You take the step of faith to give and trust God that God will meet your needs. Because when you look at verse 19, you see that God meets our needs personally. My God. See, you got to understand, you got to let God be your shepherd. You got to say, my God. What will my God do? We see he meets our needs liberally. My God shall supply all of your needs. That means completely. That means fully. But watch this. He meets our needs gloriously. Because he says, according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, when you give, you see what giving can do. As we talked about it on last week, give and it shall be given you. Good measures. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give unto your bosom. And so as I conclude, as we give financially to the Lord's work, we help spread the gospel message. Not only do we help spread the gospel message, but we meet people's needs. We assist people in growing spiritually. We enable our congregation to shine as God's light into a dark world. That's what giving does. And God will bless us when we give. God says, prove me. We said that last week. And see, don't I open up the windows of heaven. And I pour out to you. It didn't say blessings. He said, I can just pour out to you a blessing that you cannot receive. You don't even have room for it. But when you try God, when you trust God, when you have faith in God, you see what God not only can do for you as an individual, but what God can do for us as a congregation. If you're here this morning, since this is the last year, maybe you haven't been doing like you should have been doing. God has been good to you. God has allowed you to see this day to get it right. If you're here and not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ and be baptized. Then the Lord adds you to his church. Then you live faithfully unto death. You receive a crown of life. Whatever the case may be, whatever you stand in need of, don't put it off. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Won't you come?
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restored. My heart is weary, please help me, dear Lord. I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. Renew my courage, Lord, it needs restored. My cup is empty, refill it, dear Lord. Replace all doubts and fear with faith so bold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. Revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. I desire to work in your fold. Light in my heart, dear God, your zeal grown cold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul.
Let us bow. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sunday to come and worship thee. We ask that, dear Lord, that you accept our thanks. Dear Lord, we thank you for this year that you have given us to be Christians. We ask, dear Lord, that the next year that's coming up, that we will strengthen ourselves to do thy will and walk the way that you want us to. Our Heavenly Father, as we leave this building, that we encourage one another and encourage those that are around us. In Jesus' name, amen.